Vec decided that they were going to burn a bunch of music, started a fire in center field. Fans rushed the field, and they had to cancel game two of a doubleheader.
Yeah, right. Yeah, baseball and music combined to kind of kill off disco, I guess, that particular night. All right,
yeah, so that was sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, when I was in St. Louis, when I worked in St. Louis from 01 to 06, Dave Phillips was retired at that time, an umpire. He was the home plate umpire that night. And so many times he would come on Sunday. He was a regular guest on my Sunday Cardinals postgame show when I was hosting St. Louis Cardinals postgame shows in the early 2000s. And we'd talk baseball, and he'd always have all these great stories. And he, of course, was around it all. But he wrote with a local author there his autobiography. And they actually, the title of the book was Center Field is on Fire, based on that event. He was the home plate ump that night.
Okay. Let's talk about the Twins. Speaking of baseball, they lose to the Marlins 2-0. You mentioned yesterday that Miami was hot going into the series, and they maintained that particular streak. So then they won 8 in a row. Edward Cabrera, who has been a little wild in the past, was not wild last night, and he outdueled Joe Ryan to get that win, 2-0 Miami.
If that kid throws that way, he's gonna be a great pitcher, right? I mean, I know the Twins, they strike out too much. They, you know, it just is who they are. They've constructed the roster to try to hit three-run homers and not worry as much about on-base percentage and batting average, and that can work. It has worked at times for the Twins, but nights like last night, where you're a free-swinging team, He was in the strike zone most of the night, but even when he was missing, they were swinging and missing, and even his off-speed stuff was pretty hard. I mean, he was throwing a changeup like at 95 miles an hour, I saw last night when I was watching that game. So that kid threw well, Edwin Cabrera. And like I said, if he keeps throwing that way, he's going to have a fine major league career. But sometimes you catch a guy on a hot night. You know, there's times where pitchers who are just mediocre can really have your number. And it appeared that was the case. It's 18 straight innings, Jay, by the way. The Twins have not scored. It's back-to-back shutouts. I went back to a Saturday's game to see because they didn't score in Sunday's shutout 3-0, and they didn't score yesterday, but they did score in the last inning Saturday in a loss at Detroit. So it's 18 straight innings, no runs, and it's hard to win when you don't score any runs.
That is a problem. You're right. And then they got the Marlins again tonight. The pitching matchup does not look like it should be a pitcher's duel. I mean, I guess we'll just wait and see on that. Royce Lewis did get back in the lineup, and he had one of the two Twins hits, so I suppose that's a positive.
No doubt. He just has to be what we thought he would be, right? I mean, it's great that he's back. It's great that he's healthy again. But quite frankly, they brought in Cody Clemens as kind of a temporary replacement, and he's been producing probably better than what Lewis has been producing. And I know they're all playing kind of a mixture of innings, but the part of the reason he has to produce is because it means Clemens won't be in the lineup when he's in the lineup. Brooks Lee has certainly earned an everyday role, and he had another pretty good night last night. He did strike out in a tough situation with really their best scoring chance to end the inning, and he swung at a couple of poor pitches that were out of the zone to help the pitcher. But Royce Lewis is back. That's good news. We need to see the Royce Lewis of 2 years ago. Last year, he had such a struggle for much of the second half of the year. And if he can get back to being that guy and Buxton keeps doing what he's doing, Larnick's having a pretty decent year. There's some guys around this ball club that are having good years. It's just kind of one of those things that the shame of this kind of streak, after they won their 13 in a row and got themselves back into contention, they haven't been very good since, and through that they have been getting MVP level play from Byron Buxton, and they just haven't won enough games. And that's a guy that if he's hitting the way he is, he should be carrying the lineup, and unfortunately nobody else is kind of coming along for the ride.
All right, Mike, the Minnesota Lynx last night, WNBA Commissioner's Cup championship game, they played Indiana. Indiana did not have Caitlin Clark. Seemed like the Lynx should win this game easily. It turned out to be the opposite. They lose by 15, 74-59 at home. Your thoughts on that Lynx loss?
Really a weird game. You're right. I think, and maybe the Lynx got a little complacent. They jumped out to a 27 to 13 lead. So they were up by, or I'm sorry, 27 to 14. They were up by 13 in the second quarter. And maybe they're like, yeah, we're just going to cruise here. They don't have Clark. We're the best team in the league. No problem. And then over the course of like the next 14 minutes to end the second and start the third quarter, Indiana went on a 34-7 run. And, you know, sometimes you'll see a 14-4 run, a, you know, 16-6, something like that. 34-7, that's a crazy run for a professional. You know, you might see that in a lower level game where the talent level is imbalanced, but a 34-7 run. So they went from the middle of the second quarter, talking about the fever, they went from down 13 to up 14 on a 34-7 run and really never looked back. And the Lynx just, they didn't score for an 8-minute stretch of the second quarter. And that's, again, much like the Twins. If you don't score, it's hard to win. And if you go 8 minutes, they end up with only 57 points or 59 points, I guess it was, on the night. So really a struggle offensively. Nafisa Collier, you know, the best player in the league, we think, just didn't have a great night last night, 6 of 18 from the floor. So you flush it. The one good news thing about that game was that it gave you a little bit of a benchmark. It gave the players a chance to earn some additional money. Even the losing team got some money. The winning team got much more money. But now, You looked at, and you know, it would have been nice to have an off night, I'm sure. They play right away again tomorrow night. They had just come off of a game on Sunday, and so they're now in kind of the thick of a long stretch here. I think they go to San Francisco this weekend, and San Francisco, Golden State, the Valkyries, they have not played. They're going to be on a long rest, and Minnesota will be playing like a fourth game in like 8 days or 9 days. So they're in the thick of it. They still have the best record in the league, 14-2. They play great defense, like we talked about on Monday. It's really a team effort, and for whatever reason, last night it just wasn't there.
Mike, let's talk about some Gopher sports. Football team has done a great job with recruiting. Roman Voss, who is probably going to be a tight end, he's listed as just an athlete at this point, committed to the Gophers. He had offers from pretty much all the top programs, including Alabama and Auburn and Michigan, Ohio State, places like that. Your thoughts on Roman Voss choosing Minnesota and what that means and what type of player he might be?
Well, Roman Voss is a big get for a number of reasons. He's the number one ranked player, high school player in the state. He's from Jackson Central, Jackson County Central. He plays quarterback at the high school level, but he also plays on defense. And like you said, he's a very versatile kid. I agree. They have definitely been recruiting him as a tight end. That's his projected position in college. When they decided to go, you know, not feet first, but head first into recruiting him. At one point, Jay, within some time, I believe it was right after the season, so it would have been late in 24, so, you know, 6 months ago or so, 7 months ago, the entire coaching staff, the entire full-time coaching staff went and visited him to show him how much they wanted him. You know, a year ago at this time, there was not, you know, the recruiting experts, and I don't follow recruiting that closely. It's the most important aspect of a team, but I have other concerns. I just need to make sure I know who's on the team, not who's going to be on the team or might not be on the team. So I let the Ryan Burnses and Daniel Houses of the world worry about the recruiting. So I follow it really through them. Occasionally we'll get some, you know, insight from the coaches, but usually it's from those guys. And those guys that follow it closely were like, this, you know, it's not looking great a year ago. And Minnesota really was able to flip it. They won over the parents. The tight ends coach, Eric Kaler for Minnesota, really took over that recruiting situation and got the victory. And Roman Voss cited him in almost every article that I read, that Eric Kaler, the tight ends coach, I think he called him my guy. He's my guy. So you build a relationship like that, and the next thing you know, he's here. Now, then the question, Jay, is what can he do on the field? He's still a little skinny at this point, I think, to be playing tight end in the Big Ten. Do I think he'll be a redshirt candidate? Yes. Do I think he'll redshirt in today's day and age? Probably not. I think they'll find some places for him because of his athleticism. And then eventually they got to, you know, get him bulked up to be a normal size tight end. And tight ends nowadays vary because it's such a versatile position. You can have skinny tight ends that are pass catchers. You can have big tight ends ends that are just road grader blockers. The Gophers have had both those kind of guys. And I think they're hoping this kid can be kind of both, kind of be the Tyler Warren, if you remember him from Penn State last year. Tyler Warren lined up at quarterback, lined up at running back, and lined up at tight end, obviously, and was a Heisman Trophy candidate. Eventually, down the road, I think that would be, obviously, that would be great for the Gophers if that's the case. But that kind of a role, I think, is how they envision him, that he can be that kind of a versatile guy. Because remember, he played quarterback in high school, and Tyler Warren, there's a bunch of film out there on how you can utilize a guy like that.
Let's talk about the Gopher basketball team. I know they had summer workouts. This is a completely different roster. Nico Medved, seems like he brought in guys that he wanted. A lot of guys that could make threes, some guys that could penetrate. He brought in some big guys. What do you think about this roster?
Yeah, I think we all are going to have to wait and see. It definitely is a different looking roster. I think the offensive philosophy will be different. Nico Medved kind of comes from that. I won't say it's a coaching tree necessarily, but he likes the positionless basketball where you got at least four and preferably five guys that can shoot threes. Think of Michigan during the John Beilein days, and now even more recently, even this past year, where they had a couple of seven-footers, and one of those seven-footers was a pretty good three-point shooter. I think that's how Nico would like to play. It's a really good brand of basketball. And, you know, again, it's going to be hot and cold. Like the Lynx last night couldn't hit a three. On nights you're not hitting threes, it's going to be a long night. But if you can play that positionless basketball, you've got an opportunity. I would say this, the transfers that he has brought in on paper appear to be a step above maybe the transfers that have been brought in the more recent previous years with Ben Johnson in this transfer portal. What it really doesn't mean anything yet at this point. We got to see. I think the league will be good. And so it's never easy to win in the Big Ten. So I think if you look at Nico's track record, that first year is always kind of a foundational year. Like he's never at any of his previous stops, Furman Drake or Colorado State, he's never had a team in the NCAA tournament in year one. Now, two of those places, it's hard to get to the NCAA tournament because you got to win the postseason tournament. But so I don't want to hang a bunch of expectations. I think it's a foundational year. But who knows? You just never know in this transfer portal. If three of these guys hit and they're really good high-level players, and in this new day and age of the Big Ten, 18 teams, if you finish 10th, like 15 years ago when we were young men, Jay, if you finished 10th in the Big Ten, you were maybe in the NIT. If you finish 10th in the Big Ten now in an 18-team league and the way the thing favors high majors, you're going to be in the NCAA tournament finishing 10th. So that's the next step for the Gophers, is to find your way into that top 10 of the Big Ten, as weird as that sounds.
Yeah, it does sound weird. Hey, Mike, thanks. Appreciate it. If people do want to take a look at the Go Gopher podcast, how can they do that?
Yep, you can go to talknorth.com. That's our friend Jim Suhan's company with all kinds of great podcasts. It'll be listed there, and you can find it on my X or Twitter page at MikeGrim3.
Excellent. Very good. Mike, we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right, look forward to it, Jay. Thank you.
That's Mike Grim, voice of Gopher football and basketball, also the M&N sports director. He's filling in for Jim Suhan this week. And that segment is brought to you by Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Next on WJON, World and National News from ABC, followed by local news.